Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth challenges you to consider, which is bigger, your storm or your God?
I don't know what your storm is today. I don't know what your financial difficulty is. You're in the process of moving. You're dealing with a child for whom no textbook was ever written. I don't know what your storm is, but I know that Jesus knows, God knows, and He says to our hearts, "Why are you so afraid?" Where's your faith? Well, my faith isn't very big sometimes, but I'll tell you what, my God is always very big.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Facing Our Fears, Finding Him Faithful. For October 16th, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. So is there something you're fearful about today? If your answer is yes, well, you're not alone. We women can tend toward fear, and you know what? Men do too. Humans can tend toward fear. But there's truth in God's word to help us. So here's Nancy to continue in this series, How to Have a Quiet Heart.
We're talking about how to have a quiet heart. And a lady came up on a break just a little bit ago and said, "This is exactly what I need today. Our house is half packed in boxes and we're getting ready to move." And if you've ever had a move, you know that's when you need a quiet heart. In every circumstance and season of life, we're tempted to get disquieted, to have our hearts be in turmoil. But we're looking at a passage that says we can choose in the midst of storms to have a quiet heart. Psalm 131. I hope you've been reading it, memorizing it, meditating on it, and making it a part of your life. The psalmist says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever." I've always loved reading biographies of Christians from the past. And one of the reasons is that when you read about their struggles and how they trusted God in the midst of storms, it gives courage to your own heart. And you think, boy, God came through for them. I know that God will come through for me. I've been reading for the last several months a book. I'm holding it in my hand. Our radio listeners can't see it, but it is a humongous book. It's 750 pages, I think, or close to it. Tiny print. This is a recently republished autobiography of George Mueller, who was the founder of the orphanages in England, where at one point they were feeding more than 2,000 orphans every day, feeding, clothing, educating. And George Mueller felt that in his case, God didn't want him to tell anyone what the needs of the ministry were, what it cost to support those orphans, because he wanted his life in those orphanages to be a demonstration to the world of God's greatness and God's faithfulness and God's power. I want to read to you some excerpts that have been a blessing to me as I've been reading through this book, and just let you hear illustration after illustration of how in times of storm, God enabled this man to have a quiet heart. He said, "I have not one penny in hand for the orphans. In a day or two again, many pounds will be needed. My eyes are up to the Lord." He says, "Today I was again penniless, but my eyes were up to the Lord." Here's another entry. "The Lord in his wisdom and love has not yet sent help. Whence it is to come need not be my care, but I believe God will in due time send help." He said another day, "We've never been lower in means than yesterday and today. Yet my soul, thanks to the Lord, was also yesterday and today in perfect peace." This is a man with a quiet heart. He says, "My heart is not troubled. I am sure that in the best time and way, God will send help." Here's another story. He says, "During the last 2 days, there came in only about the 20th part as much as had been expended. Our expenses were 20 times more than what came in." He said, "When I thought of the greatness of the outgoings and the smallness of the amount which had come in, I remembered the words in Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And my heart responded, "In the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, and in Him I will trust." He said, a few minutes after, I received a letter from Canada, thousands of miles away, containing a bank order for £81.09. So God sent what was needed as he put his trust in the Lord. On another day, he wrote, "While I am writing this, the income during the last 5 days has been so small that it would not cover the fifth part of the expenses of these 5 days. But I am expecting again much larger sums." Here's a man who always kept expecting God to do whatever was needed. He said, "It is unspeakably blessed, really, to know God, to walk in friendship with him, to be able to speak to him about everything, and to roll upon him all one's cares and burdens. In this blessed, happy way, I have now been enabled to walk for 44 years, and I cannot describe the joy connected with this life of holy, blessed independence of circumstances, political events, financial difficulties, friends, death, etc. For as long as we are able to lean upon God, we have all we can possibly need." At another point in time, he wrote these words, "God has not failed me at any time." And let me just insert here, I would write that in my own journal, in my own autobiography. I look back and I say, God has not failed me at any time. George Mueller goes on to say in that entry in his journal, 40 years have I proved his faithfulness in this work. I have no anxieties and no cares at all." Now, I read that, and that is amazing to me. For a man who's caring for feeding 2,100 orphans, I think it was at one point, to say, "I have no anxieties and no cares at all." Well, it's not that he didn't have anxieties and cares around him. It's that he never let them lodge in his heart. He never let them become his anxieties or his cares. He says, "Faith in God leads me to roll all my burden upon him. For hundreds are my necessities, besides those connected with money. In every way, I find God to be my helper, even as I trust in him and pray to him in childlike simplicity about everything." And he really did. As you read through these 700 pages in this journal, page after page after page, he's saying, "We had this need, so we prayed about it. We had this need, so we prayed about it. We had this need, so we prayed about it." He prayed about everything. And then he says, "Be encouraged, dear fellow believer, to go this blessed way yourself, and you will see what peace and joy it affords." Well, just one more entry from his journal. He says, "What was now to be done, dear reader, under these circumstances when all the money for the above objects was gone again?" There were parts of the ministry for which they had no financial support. What was to be done? I reply, "We did what we have done for 47 years. That is, we waited continually upon God. Under every trial and every difficulty, we find prayer and faith to be our universal remedy." It was true for George Mueller 150 plus years ago. It is true for you and me today. Wait continually upon God. Under every trial and every difficulty, faith and prayer is the universal remedy. Well, George Mueller experienced that. David experienced it. We're reading about his experience in the Psalms. Jesus experienced that when he was here on earth. And as I was preparing for the series, I thought about that passage in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's get in a boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." They left the crowd, they got in the boat, and verse 37 says, "A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion." Now, how did Jesus sleep through that storm? And why did he sleep through that storm? I think it's because Jesus knew Psalm 107. He knew that God was in charge. Psalm 107, verse 25 says, "He commanded," God commanded, "and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea." God is the one who makes those waves rise and makes the storm. But he's also the one in verse 29, and Jesus knew this, who says he made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. God raises up the storm. God calms the storm. Jesus knew that, and that's why he could have a quiet heart. Now, the disciples, on the other hand, did not have a quiet heart. Mark chapter 4, verse 38, And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" Jesus is there asleep, pillowing his head, resting. He's got a quiet heart because he knows God's in charge. The disciples are disquieted. They're alarmed. They're anxious. They're agitated. And they think God doesn't care that they're perishing. Well, verse 39 says, "He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?'" I don't know what your storm is today. I don't know what your financial difficulty is. You're in the process of moving. You're dealing with a child for whom no textbook was ever written. You're dealing with the ups and downs, maybe of the stock market or of your husband's employment situation or your employment situation. I don't know what the burden is. You may have just buried someone that you love very dearly, or maybe living through the last days of someone that you love dearly. I don't know what your storm is, but I know that Jesus knows, God knows, and He says to our hearts, "Why are you so afraid? Where's your faith?" Well, my faith isn't very big sometimes, but I'll tell you what, my God is always very big. He is George Mueller's God. He is David's God. He was Jesus' God. He is my God, and He is your God. Now, I shared earlier in this series that I had read a booklet by David Pallison on stress, which is really an exposition of Psalm 131. And in that little booklet, which has been such an encouragement to me, Dr. Pallison rewrites this psalm in the opposite way. If we don't have a quiet heart, here's the way this psalm might read. Instead of addressing the Lord, we say self. We're self-focused instead of Lord-focused. Self, my heart is proud, and my eyes are haughty. I look down on other people, and I chase after things too great and too difficult for me. So, of course, I'm noisy and restless inside. It comes naturally, like a hungry infant fussing on his mother's lap. Like a hungry infant, I'm restless with my demands and worries. I scatter my hopes onto anything and everything all the time. That's the opposite of Psalm 131, according to Dr. David Pallison. And that was helpful to me to see that if I'm not living according to Psalm 131, behaving and quieting my heart and trusting in the Lord, then I'm going to have a proud heart. I'm going to be chasing after things that are more than I can comprehend. My heart will be noisy and restless inside. I'll be fussy with demands and worries, and I'll be scattering my hopes onto anything and everything all the time rather than trusting in the Lord. It reminds me of that passage in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, where the scripture says, "The wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." And that's what some of our hearts are like, isn't it? Churning in turmoil, tossing, cannot be quiet, and tossing up mire and dirt. No peace. Because our hearts are not pure and quiet before the Lord. Well, we come today to verse 3, which is the bottom line of this whole psalm. "Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever." This is the trusting heart. And you'll notice that this verse is addressed to the people of God. Israel, let Israel hope in the Lord. But it's not just for Israel, it's for me. I need to put my name in that verse. Let Nancy hope in the Lord from now and forever. You put your name there. You hope in the Lord from now and forever. I see in this verse both an invitation and a command. I'm invited, I'm encouraged to hope in the Lord. It's an invitation, but it's also a directive. Hope in the Lord. Don't hope in anything else. Hope in Him. And so we say, what's the way to get this quiet heart? The way to get it is to hope in the Lord, to put your confidence in Him, to lean on Him. I can't just say to myself, "I'm not going to fret anymore." Wouldn't that be great? You know, I'm never going to be an anxious, hyperventilating, uptight person anymore. You can't just say that and then expect never to fret again. We have to get rid of our inclination, our proclivity to fretting, by putting another inclination in its place. Trusting in God is what displaces fretting. So rather than saying, "I'm not going to be anxious, I'm not going to fret, I'm not going to have all these disturbing thoughts in my mind," and now you're just working yourself up into more of a dither, instead, change your focus. trust in God. Confidence in God will replace confidence in your circumstances and other people to satisfy you. So hope in the Lord versus whatever else you're looking to or hoping in to satisfy you. What are you looking to make you happy, to make you quiet? Put away those things. Put away your confidence in those things and hope in the Lord. That word hope is an active word. We kind of use it in a more passive sense. You know, I hope the weather will change soon, or I hope, you know, my kids will grow up soon. But this word in the Hebrew language is an active word. It's to wait, to be patient, to tarry, to stay on something, to trust in something. It's actively hoping, leaning, resting, waiting. I'm thinking of that old hymn, leaning on the everlasting arms, placing your confidence in Him. I said to someone I was talking to the other day, the government of the world is on His shoulders. That comes from the book of Isaiah. Do you think if God's shoulders are big enough to carry the government of the whole world, that His shoulders are big enough to carry your concerns, your burdens? Hope in the Lord. Cast your burden on Him. A woman said to me the other day as we were speaking, and she was pouring out her heart about some of the anxious thoughts within her, some of the circumstances she's up against. She said, how do I get rid of the anxiety? She said, I'm angry, I'm discouraged, I'm anxious. I know I am. I could see it in her face. I could see it in her tears. I could hear it in her voice. She said, how do I get rid of that? I said, hope in the Lord. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Jehovah. Hope in the Lord. That's what Philippians 4 says. Think about things that are pure and lovely and good and true, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds, keep you at rest and quiet in Christ Jesus. What you have to do is get your eyes off the problems and onto the Lord. And I said to this woman, go to Psalm 131. I've been telling a lot of people that recently. I'm telling you that. I don't know what your circumstances are. Go to Psalm 131. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Keep quoting it back to the Lord. And not just this passage, but other passages. Sing them to the Lord. Sing hymns. Sing psalms. Sing spiritual songs. These things help me when my own heart is heavy. And watch yourself about what you're leaning on, what you're looking to meet your needs. Charles Spurgeon said about this passage, remember that where your treasure is, your heart will go. And if that treasure is taken away, your heart will ache. If you're leaning or depending on things other than the Lord, he said, the man who depends alone upon his God and whose expectation is from him has not half the occasions for trouble that he has who is leaning here and leaning there and leaning in 50 places. For each earthly prop will be the cause or occasion of distress at some time or other. Say, what are earthly props? It may be your husband you're looking to satisfy your needs. It may be your child. It may be your job. It may be shopping. It may be food. It may be friends. Whatever you're leaning on, whatever you're looking to meet the deepest needs of your heart, will be the cause or the occasion of distress at some time or other, unless you are leaning on the Lord. He will never fail you. He will never distress you. He will never let you down. Now, as we've been looking at Psalm 131, I want us to look back to the previous psalm. These are actually kind of twin psalms. And close by looking at Psalm 130, which just expands on hoping in the Lord. You fulfill Psalm 131, verse 3, hoping in the Lord, by living out Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And so I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. That's the picture of the night watchman who's on the middle of the night shift and his eyes are, you know, he's just propping them open, trying to stay open till the end of that shift. He's watching for the first ray of dawn. Or like the mom in the middle of the night with the crying baby, she's just waiting for morning to come, watching for the morning. That's how my soul waits for the Lord. Verse 7 of Psalm 130, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Are you eagerly, desperately leaning on the Lord? Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has been showing us what that kind of dependent life looks like. Her message is part of the series, How to Have a Quiet Heart.
And the psalm we've been looking at this week has been freshly meaningful to my own heart this week, as there's so much in our world today that could keep us from having a quiet heart. And I think that's why we need these reminders from the scripture to fix our hearts on him. He is our peace, no matter what we're facing or what we're watching unfold in the world in front of us. He is our hope. He is the only one who is unshakable. The Lord is our refuge. He's our secure dwelling place. And we don't have to fear the storms that come our way because our hope is not in this world. One woman wrote us recently about a series that we aired, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, based on Psalm 46. This woman was struggling with fear, and she needed the reminder that God is in control of everything.
The message about God being very present was very encouraging to me.
Elohim, God, he is the one who is our refuge, our strength in the midst of trouble.
I was able to share parts of it with a friend who, just in the last week, found out that her husband, only 29 years old, has terminal cancer. But God is faithful. They are steadfastly trusting in him through every suffering. They lost their 3-year-old daughter suddenly 18 months ago.
He's the starting point. He's a fixed reference point in a world of shifting circumstances. And he is more real than any circumstance, than any trouble that may touch your life or mine this day or in the days to come.
Thank you so much for being sensitive to the Lord and his people. I'm so incredibly blessed by this ministry, and I am forever changed because of it.
Oh, thank you, Lord. How sweet is this, and how encouraging to see that God is using his word, his truth, as we share it day after day, to minister grace to his people. You know, we're only able to bring this kind of hope and encouragement because the Lord has sustained and provided for this ministry day after day, month after month, year after year. And he's used people like you to make that possible. Here at Revive Our Hearts, we want to keep bringing you truth and pointing you to the hope that comes from knowing Jesus. And let me just say that when you give to this ministry, you are bringing real gospel encouragement to women all around the world. I had a Zoom call with dozens of our Revive Our Hearts ambassadors from around the world, and I looked into the faces of women from South Africa and Europe and Latin America and across the United States, women who are volunteering their time to partner with us in this ministry in reaching women all around the world. They're begging for this teaching in more languages, and I love seeing what God is doing. And I'm so excited to think about how your gift at this time could help make more of that possible in the coming days. Thank you so much for joining with us in this mission, however the Lord prompts you at this time. We're so grateful.
Yeah, that's right. If you'd like to make a financial donation to support Revive Our Hearts, you can do that by visiting reviveourhearts.com or calling us at 1-800-569-5999. And when you do, we'll send you the brand new 25th anniversary edition of Nancy's first book, A Place of Quiet Rest. It's all about cultivating a quiet heart through rhythms of rest in God's presence. Just be sure to request a copy when you make your donation of any amount. Before we go, I want you to know about something huge coming up next year. We're inviting you to consider reading through the whole Bible in 2026. Now, if that excites you, we want you to express your intentions to join us by visiting reviveourhearts.com/Bible2026. Does it sound like it's a daunting task? Well, with God's help, it's possible, my friend. So let's get excited about reading the whole Bible together with women all across the globe. When you spend time with God in prayer and in his word, it's kind of like storing up a reserve of his supplies for your times of crisis. Find out how that works tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Here's Nancy to close our time in prayer.
Oh Lord, thank you that you can be trusted. Thank you that you will never fail us. The arm of flesh will always fail us. Anything, anyone that we look to other than you will let us down. But Lord, you are faithful. You can be depended upon. All that we need, Lord, you are bread and water and life and breath, and everything we need is in you. So Lord, help us to hope in you, to wait on you, to lean on you, to look to you, to rely on you this day and every day. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.